Our first reading is from Genesis 32, starting with verse 22. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Psalm 121, and we'll read responsively. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
Time forth and forevermore.
Our second lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14. As for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and extort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fill your ministry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our scripture song is hymn number 231, O Word of God Incarnate, number 231. We rise for the hearing of our Lord's gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, But tonight I put four letters on the front of the baptismal font, right? Four letters, because last week we talked about faithfulness and how God is always faithful. Well, did anybody notice what the four letters are? What are they? F-R-O-G. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Four letters, F-R-O-G. What do those four letters spell?
Frog.
Frog? I happen to have a frog here. You see this frog? Yeah, I don't know if you noticed. You see over there on the pulpit where God's word is read? You see what's over there sitting there?
A frog.
And this frog here, I was over visiting a couple of friends, Don and Jean Wanick, and we were sitting outside in the beautiful sunshine, and down in the bushes, I saw
a frog.
I said, look at that frog. I said, I'm going to talk about frogs in my children's sermon. And they said, well, you can borrow this. And Jean went in and she washed it all up and stuff, right? You know how old this frog is? This frog has been sitting in the sun, in the bushes, outside in the rain, the snow, 20 years old. What do you know about frogs? Do you know how long frogs live? Frogs usually in the outdoors, the wild, maybe 4, 5, 6 years. Some up to 15 years or even more, right? Yeah, they're amphibians. They got these big, strong back legs. You know what they do?
They hop,
they jump, right? They can really jump. Frogs, they got these tongues. You know what they do with the tongues?
They catch flies.
Yeah, they catch insects. That's how they get their food, right? Yeah, and they're kind of slimy, slippery, smooth. They spend half of their life on land and half of their life in water. Now, I figured you'd see the frog, the letters, and you'd say, oh, I'll bet you Pastor Dave is going to talk about that one plague that came to Egypt of the frogs. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. The reason we put that little frog over there by the Bible, because the four letters F-R-O-G abbreviate four words. You know what those four words are? The F is for fully. Fully means completely, entirely. The R is for rely, reliability. Like, I have a phone, and if I see that the battery has gone from 100% down to 5%, what does that mean? It's going to die pretty soon. I better plug it in, I better recharge it, or it's not going to be reliable. It's not going to be fully reliable, huh? F, R, what's the O stand for? The word on, O-N. Fully rely on
God.
Whoa, you got it. Or fully rely on God's word, the Bible, because that's where God speaks to us. And he tells us how much he loves us and how he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, right? Reliable. God is faithful, and when he makes a promise, he's reliable. So the reason I brought frogs with me tonight is the next time you see a frog outside, inside, maybe over at Don and Jean Wanick's place, right? Or maybe someone might even give you stickers. You see these stickers? What's on them?
Frogs.
Take one of those. There's six frogs on each one of those sticker pages. You like stickers? I love stickers. So whenever you see a frog, or when someone needs to know that they need to fully rely on God, fully rely on God's word, the Bible, right? You say, I think you need a sticker. Hey, you're welcome. You see, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. And if Paul had had stickers, he would have said, Timothy, and he would have plastered them all over Timothy so that Timothy wouldn't forget to fully rely on God. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together.
Dear Jesus,
we can always count on you.
You are reliable.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Remember, stickers, what they do, right? They stick. Right? St. Paul, when he wrote his final letter to Timothy, I believe wanted Timothy to know about the faithfulness of God and the reliability of God. There are a lot of things in life you might not be able to count on or depend on. My battery in my car is 8.5 years old. And some people say, you're nuts. Get a new battery before it dies in the winter on you. Do you think it's going to be reliable forever? And I say, well, no. Because there's only one person, the only begotten Son of the Father, who gives us his Holy Spirit. There's only one that we can trust with our lives. Through all of the suffering, through all of the heartaches, through all of the challenges and difficulties that come our way, when we see a frog, I hope we see more than just a little amphibian. I hope that we see an acronym, F-R-O-G. I can count on Jesus. I can fully rely on God. I can fully rely on God's Word. God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while time shall pass, your church may hold it fast. Throughout all generations. God's Word. God's Word. The revealing of God's very self to you. God's gift of Jesus for you. The Word of God is Jesus, and the Bible are the words of God. God's way of addressing you. God's way of speaking to you and to me. So that we rely and depend upon Him and not something else or someone else that would most certainly be less reliable. Fully rely on God. St. Paul was writing a final letter to Timothy. Timothy had been like a son, a beloved son in the faith. You know that Timothy got the sacred writings passed on to him from childhood because he had a believing grandma and he had a believing mother. Not everybody does. Timothy had Grandma Lois, Timothy had Mother Eunice. But Timothy didn't have a dad or a grandpa that believed in Jesus. But Paul stepped in and became a mentor, a male figure in his life. And so Timothy had been instructed in the faith. And Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, and I know where you got it. You didn't create it. You didn't make it up on your own. It was given to you. It was entrusted to you. Guard that sacred gift, Timothy, that has been entrusted to you. Hold on to it. Persevere. Patiently press on. Timothy, I charge you, Paul says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Preach the word. In season and out of season. Preach the word, Timothy. Why? Well, because the times are coming. Indeed, we know they're already here. The times are coming when people with itchy ears are going to be scratching all over the place. People with itching ears are going to try to find preachers and teachers, false prophets, false teachers, imposters, fakes, charlatans, who will tell them exactly what they want to hear. Preach the word. Be urgent, Timothy. In season and out of season, look for the opportune time of Almighty God. You see, when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, a young man that he co-authored 6 of the New Testament books with, A young man that accompanied Paul on two of his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, when Paul writes this final letter to Timothy, Paul says, my days are numbered. Paul is in prison. He's suffering for the gospel. He's suffering for the name of Jesus, and he is pretty sure that he's not going to make it out of this situation alive. But that's okay, because what Paul is saying to Timothy is, Timothy, you know, I know, we can always count on God. Fully rely on God. Timothy, I can count on you. Timothy, you can count on me. But we only know that because of the reliability of God's word. And God's word for you is Jesus, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. Fully rely on God. Why? Well, Paul will say it. All scripture is inspired by God. Don't you love how Paul just puts himself out there? All scripture, all the sacred writings, the Bible that we have from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all scripture, not just 99.98%, right? I mean, you've got some out there that'll say, you know, but that Bible's got lots of mistakes in it. Fully rely on God's word because it's breathed by God. And the breathing of God, the breath of God is what creates life and sustains hope. And gives us Jesus. All scripture is inspired. It's God breathed. But there are those with itching ears that don't believe that's true. In fact, if you were to do a survey of a lot of people nowadays and you were to say, what do you think about the Bible? What do you think about God's word? A lot of people would tell you, people that have their names on church membership lists, they would tell you, well, I think that it's outdated history. I think that it is a collection of human opinions. I think that it needs revising. That's what some people would say. You know why? Because they do not let Scripture read them. They do not let the Bible interpret them. No, they interpret the Bible and they read Scripture. And they do so with their own agendas and their own opinions and their own autonomous, relative, subjective concerns. And so, our Scripture reading for tonight is kind of like right in the face of people who think that you can't count on God or His Word. For people who don't think that God is reliable, who don't think that God's Word, the Bible, is reliable, Paul's words to Timothy are going to be hard words to swallow. Because Paul says, you need to guard the good treasure that has been entrusted to you, Timothy. You need to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You need to remember that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable, is purposeful, is useful for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's Word isn't outdated. It still snaps, crackles, and pops the way God intends it to. To get at us, to convict us of our sin, to bring us to repentance, to give us hope so that we stop relying on things that are not reliable. And instead, by God's grace alone, rely upon the only one who is trustworthy and faithful. All Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the child of God, the person of God, the man, the woman of God might be complete, equipped, for every good work. Oh, what a gift. What a gift God's word is to us. And what a problem we humans have with itching ears, where we accumulate teachers to suit our fancy, where we wander away from the truth and stray into myths, fabrications, fantasies, fairy tales. Paul says to Timothy, stay in the Word. You can fully rely on God. You've probably heard this story. I heard it a few years ago about a captain at sea, a night when it was really foggy. He saw in the distance what appeared to be another ship, bright lights coming his way. He had one of the members of his crew, a signalman, send a message out that said, change your course 10 degrees to the south. And he got a message back that said, you change your course 10 degrees to the north. Well, the captain wasn't real happy about that, so he said, send another message and say to him, I am a captain. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. They got a response back that said, I am a seaman, class one or whatever it is. Change your course 10 degrees to the north. Now the captain was really infuriated. He said, change your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm captain of a battleship. And then it was the reply that said, change your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse. You see what happens with Scripture? You see what happens with human manipulation of God in today's times? We expect God to be at our beck and call and will. We expect God to change His course, change the light of the world. We don't believe Jesus is the light of the world. We don't believe that He is the only way, truth, and life, that no one comes to the Father but by Him. Change your course, God. We don't like what the Scriptures are telling us. But it is not God's Word that needs to change. It is, in fact, God's Word that speaks to us and says, beloved children, you must change. You must change your course from sin to salvation. This is what St. Paul is speaking to his beloved Timothy as he passes on the baton. And as he says to Timothy, I'm suffering for the gospel. Anyone who is a servant of Christ will be persecuted. They will suffer for the gospel. And that's why Paul will say, as for you, Timothy, I charge you. Ooh, those are strong words. I charge you. He's not daring him. He doesn't say, well, Timothy, I dare you. No, he says, I charge you. This is a command. I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Look for the opportune time. As for you, Timothy, always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Did you hear that? Be steady. Be patient. Be persistent. Persevere. Be patient, Timothy, but be steady. Don't change the course from God's word to accommodate to culture. Be steady, endure suffering. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Expect suffering. Be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. If you read our October newsletter, I hope you did, I shared with you some statistics from the Barna Group. They survey religion and culture. Now, you know how they divide our culture up into demographic groups by age. I'm a part of the boomer generation. There's the Generation X, there's the Busters, there is, I don't remember what the ones is that's 72 and older now, but they got all these classifications. And then there's the millennials. The millennials were born from 1984 to 1998. The millennials would presently be age 20 to age 34. And this group is quite curious. Because when you survey them through Barna Group, you find out that the practicing Christians in that demographic group called the millennials, that 75% of them know the faith, and if someone has questions about the Christian faith, they can respond well to it. So they're equipped. We find out that with the millennials, that they, along with the other demographic groups, 95 to 98% believe that evangelism, the Great Commission, is in fact an essential part of being a Christ follower. 95-98% believe that there's nothing better than someone being introduced to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And yet here is the precarious thing. Most of the millennials have four or more friends or family members who are participants in other faiths. So 50% of those believing millennials are hesitant and resistant to be evangelical, to share the faith of Jesus, because they wouldn't want to offend anyone, especially their family or their friends. And yet, ironically, these 20 to 34-year-olds are not concerned about their dear friends and family members being separated from the Lord God Almighty for all eternity. Really? Preach the word, Timothy. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You got your work cut out. It's not going to be easy. But the one who called you is faithful, Timothy. I could just see Paul, I really could, that if he could go to the ABC store in Rochester, Minnesota, and he could pick up a bunch of these frogs, he would have said, Timothy, I could talk until I'm blue in the face. But I think probably the best thing to do is just slap it on you. Fully rely on God. You got that, Timothy? Huh? You said you didn't hear me? I said, Timothy, fully rely on God. You can trust God's word because it's reliable. Will there be suffering? Yes. Kabir has been preaching for over 12 to 15 years to a congregation originally about 40 people in India, a nation that has approximately 1.3 billion people, most of whom are Hindu. There are 27 million Christians in India, but they're a distinct minority, and they're persecuted. Now, Kabir, in 2016, was doing what he did every week. On a Sunday evening, he went and he preached to a congregation in the slums, destitution and poverty. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he got done at 9 o'clock, he got on the bus to ride home to where his wife and two daughters were waiting to meet him, ages 11 and 13. But there were four men who were watching Kabir, and they followed him. They were radicals in their faith. They stopped the bus. They pulled Kabir off the bus, and for the next 15 minutes, they kicked and punched, they beat him, they hit him with anything they had, mercilessly. And he was bleeding all over. They said, "You will renounce this Jesus of yours, and you will return to Hinduism, and you will worship our idols." And the whole time, Kabir is praying and saying, "Lord, Lord Jesus, I want only to serve you. Lord Jesus, deliver me from this certain death, and I will serve you twice or three times as much. Save me, Jesus, for your kingdom and your purposes." Kabir. They tried recording on one of their smartphones for 90 minutes. They tried to get him to renounce his faith. And finally, they got so frustrated, they got worn out, they gave up. And then one of the four men, they said to Kabir, "If I see you tomorrow and you are telling anyone about Jesus, I will kill you, because all the people, they're converting to Christianity, and you have to stop." Somehow, miraculously, by the grace of God, in his bloody mess, Kabir made it home. And because he didn't perish that night, he doubled and tripled his effort for the gospel. He said, "God, save me. That means I will forgive them and I won't turn those men in." He didn't report them. They did get caught by the police, though, some other way. But he didn't report them. He said, "Instead, I will pray for them every day. I will pray that God will come into their lives and that they will get saved. I will pray for an opportunity to go to them and to tell them the story of Jesus and to tell them that I love them." This is amazing. This is the gospel, Paul says, that I'm suffering for. Kabir's family, his wife, his two daughters, they've been so deepened and strengthened in their faith. And they said, "We will not give up on Jesus. We will fully rely on God. And we will trust in the reliability of the scriptures." Timothy, you've been acquainted with those scriptures from the time you were just a kid. And you know that they're reliable. Stand, stand, stand on the authority of God's word. Now in Kabir's case, he said, "I know that being a Christian means persecution, and my good Lord has graciously given me a taste of suffering in his name and for his glory." Preach the word. Be urgent, be patient, be steadfast. As for you, always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. As for you, fulfill your ministry. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember, all scripture is inspired by God. Remember, four letters, FROG. You can, in the name of Jesus Christ, fully rely on God. Amen.